Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Wasn't that a delicious breakfast this morning? I always kind of feel like it's like nap time afterwards, but it's worship time, guys. We're going to get our worship on this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand and worship. Hallelujah. Lord, we just come before you this morning, declaring you are a good, good Father. You are worthy of praise. So we just come this morning, lifting up holy hands unto you. We say you are good. You are worthy. We honor you. Have your way in this place today. Lord, we just thank you for your comforting presence of the Holy Spirit to be in this place, to be in our hearts. We thank you that you reside inside of us. And we're so grateful. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Here we go.
Give him praise this morning. We praise you, Lord. You are good. You are awesome, God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to sing that song again, and I want us to do something. By faith, I want us to clap our hands and wake ourselves up and declare what God's word says. We're free. And we're awake. I know those crepes are like, oh. Wasn't that good? Is that good, huh? Can you give our breakfast team a big hand of applause? It's amazing. We're so thankful for them. Amen. Amen. Well, come on. Let's do it together. We're declaring His word today. His might. His goodness. We're shaking off the things of the week. and saying, come on, Lord, we're ready. We're ready to receive what you have today. Amen?
I was lost with a broken heart. You picked me up, now I'm set apart. From the ash I am born again. Forever saved in the Savior's hand. You are more than my word today. I'll follow you, Lord, for all my days. Fix my eyes, follow in your ways. Forever free.
Our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are. Prince of Peace.
is none like you. There is none like you. Just praise him a minute with your own words. Sing a new song before the Lord. He's your maker. Hallelujah. There's no one like you. You are worthy, worthy, worthy. We may have to give you a sacrifice of praise this morning, but Lord, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. You're worthy of my praise. I'm not gonna let the rocks cry out, but I will praise you, Lord. Oh, your praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, Lord, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. We declare the goodness of God. Oh, hallelujah. You are good, you are good, you are good. Oh, you are good, you are good, you are good. You are worthy. Shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What is coming out of our mouths? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you this morning for your presence. Sometimes we feel it and sometimes we don't. When we don't feel his presence, does it mean he's not there? Hallelujah. As I was preparing for the women's conference that I did yesterday, which thank you all for praying. It was fantastic, amazing. Lives were brought into the kingdom. People were set free. People were that have been just bound by depression and not able to get out of a grieving process. They came forward for prayer. We're believing with them. They're getting plugged into the church over there, and it's just a good thing. God did a good thing. But as I was preparing, you know, I've done this before where it's like, I got one word, and it's behold. Behold him. What are you beholding? What are you seeking? What are you looking at? What are you being concerned with? Behold him. And there was nothing else that I got. I had scriptures written down. And I was like, Lord, I have two services type of thing that I have to do, two sessions. And all I'm getting is, what are you beholding? What are you beholding? What are you beholding? And I would look at like notes and scriptures, and it was almost like it was turned over and I couldn't see it. And I was like, I'm trusting you. Lord, I'm trusting you. Pastor Jason said last week, your gift goes before you. Your gift is not for you. It's for the world. Your gift goes before you. Inside of you, there's a seed that wants to grow into a tree. And just like somebody would come and the apples would fall off, somebody's going to come and pick it. He's going to pick that apple, and there's going to be nutrients that come because he has placed seeds in you to flourish, to be who he's called you to be. I look around and I see just different areas that he has you planted. And it's for his purpose. And it's for the world. That they can pick the fruit off of your life and they can see and taste the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste is perceive. Taste and see. Behold, the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. On my way home last night, I stopped in Rice Lake and I went to their evening service because I know they have a service over there, some friends. And she said, I don't want to just encourage you, because the pastor's wife was speaking. She said, I don't want to just encourage you, I want to empower you. Because when you're empowered, it is your responsibility. It belongs to you now. Encouragement can always, like, I got to come back for more encouragement. I got to come back for more encouragement. And you can get a little bit needy. But we want to empower you. When she said it, I was like, yes! So we want to empower the church through the power of the Holy Spirit to go and do everything he's called you to do. You're not going to look like me, and I'm not going to look like you. It's going to look completely different, but he's got you planted where he needs you to grow and bear much fruit. Because we're living in a time, and that's what he showed me on Saturday. He's like, follow me. Have your ears up to my mouth and do what I tell you to do. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. What does the word say? Trust the Lord with just a little piece of your heart. Just kidding. Trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Man, do we do that so much? Put it down and trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all of your ways. On the path he has you on, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. He's empowering you this morning. People need what you have to give. Don't compromise. Don't compare. You look like you. Barb, when you're in that school, it is fruit that only you can produce, that he's producing through you, and people are going to pick it, and they're going to taste and see that the Lord is good through your life. You're planted where you're at for a reason. Don't despise where you're planted. Amen? Whew. God is good. He is so good. He's so good. Hallelujah. Matt, you're planted at Marquette for a reason. People will see your fruit and pick it, and they'll taste and see that the Lord is good. It's all about him. It's about revealing his glory. It says his glory lives and resides on the inside of us. His goodness lives on the inside of us. That's for you too, mister. He doesn't take away what he's already given you. It's there. So stand up and be who God's called you to be. Because we're all backing you. We support you. We love you. True story. The end. Whew. Thank you, Lord. He's so good. We talked about it. Sometimes you just can't help but cry in his presence because he's just like reveals something about him, his nature, his character, and you just can't help but like just be undone. Sometimes it's embarrassing, but I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. Because I want more revelation of who you are. You sustain me. You sustain me. I saw the Lord seated on the throne. He was clothed in glory and exalted high. And the train of his robe join in with the chorus of heaven this morning. They cry, you are holy, oh so holy. You are holy, Lord of all. I saw the Lord. I saw the train of his robe. holy.
The Lord is seated on his throne, and he is holy, and that means set apart. And he says to us in his word, come out from among them, come out from the world, and be separate. He wants us to be with him. And Jesus paved the way. It's a free gift. We accept what Jesus did, and we are his righteousness. And the holy God accepts us. His word says, you are accepted in the beloved. You are all beloved of the Lord. There is no condemnation in the Lord. It's the enemy that condemns us. The Holy Spirit that draws us. That's the difference. If you feel condemned, it's the voice of the enemy. You may feel convicted of sin. That's the Holy Spirit saying, come out from among them. Come out, come to me. I already paid the price. I already paid it. You are free. You are in me. You are accepted in the beloved. Let's hang on to that today. We are the beloved.
Of the word beloved, as she just said, be loved. Let yourself be loved of the Lord, because he calls you his beloved.
reminded also that when you, when we declare God's holy, the reason, one of the reasons why that's important is because it's in His holiness that His word is carried strong. That's the foundation. It's His truth, His life. And if He's holy, He's perfect, which means He's able to back everything He declares over you and me. Right? So when we remind ourselves He's holy, so He's the all-powerful one, He's the almighty one, and because of Christ in us, we can follow in that. The Bible says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. Through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, and it's because God is holy that He made us, through the Holy Spirit, through Christ, made us right, in right standing, so we can stand strong. Amen? That's a crazy, mind-blowing thought, but it's true nonetheless. I thank You. I'm so glad I don't have to understand it all, but I do receive it by faith. Amen? How many receive it by faith today? Amen? Raise your hand up real high. I know this is, you know, now we're getting kind of Pentecostal. All right, here we go. Ready? I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you believe it, give Him praise. Come on. Amen. 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 Worship team did an amazing job again. Amen. We got the best. We're going to go, you can be seated. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering. It is Family Sunday. Thank you, Kaylin, for helping us sing this morning. And I think some of you were greeted this morning with some youngins, and we appreciate that. We love our kids here at Word of Life. And so Family Sunday just means that they get involved, help us get involved in the daily ministry needs and serving in the church. And they're going to stay in here with us today. We do have a place for our youngest to go today if you want to do that. But they're going to stay here. The reason I mention this very quickly, Brian, you getting ready? I can see him ramping up. He's ramping up. Okay. I'm just, okay. what we can do as we celebrate Family Sunday is it gives us an opportunity as parents to help train our kids on what we should and shouldn't do during church and do all of that. But it also gives us adults the ability to be able to dig in and to focus in the midst of distraction. Amen? It's a good training, because how many know that when you get outside of these walls, there's going to be distractions? Okay, I got one amen back there. Okay, good. Someone else is human like me. All right, good. So you understand that there's always distractions, but we can focus on the things of God. So this is a training opportunity for us. Amen? Amen. All right, Brian, I did really good for you.
Well, thank you. So it's May. That means that the layers of ice on the windshield are pretty thin in the morning. Hopefully. So, let's focus away from tithing as much and start gearing toward generosity. And I think we should all kind of focus, or maybe have a plan this week to do something that starts to train ourselves to be more generous toward others. So I think that things just like, honestly, just being aware of people around us, you know, when you get to a door and there's always that awkward, who's going to get the door for me? Or perhaps the day may come where I'll get it for someone else. I was trying really hard. But no, I mean, just like, because, you know, if you take like a minute to talk to someone, I was at Walmart yesterday. Where's Gary? Rubens, I guess. That actually is kind of Gary's phrase. But I, you know, in like the 30 seconds I clean out was in the truck, somebody starts talking to me about their problems they were having, you know, and it was just, I didn't really take the best opportunity to share or anything, but it was just, I was someone he could talk to. And it's like, everybody's got a story. Everybody's got something going on at any given time. And I mean, so for us to be generous, is generous just a moment of your time? Is it just, you know, helping someone? Is it helping get the door? Is it helping with groceries? And yet, on the other hand, the other thing we have to train is ourselves to be accepting of other people's generosity. Because I don't know how many people here pretty prideful. I don't particularly like someone helping me. It makes me feel like, what, you didn't think I could do it? Does anyone know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, seriously, like, I would be like, oh, I should help that person unload their cart. But if it was me, I'd be like, I got it, all right? I'll just, you know, so it's like, I think it has to be, you know, if we're going to be generous to others, don't we have to understand, you know, how it works to ourselves? I mean, even a compliment is always kind of like, I've always got to do the little sarcastic, well, this time it worked, you know, or something. I mean, it's like, why is it so hard to take a compliment? And why is it so unnatural to give a compliment? So I think, I don't know. I think it's just working on that idea of how can we be loving toward people if we don't even understand that they all, everyone, all of us, not everyone else, me included, you know, recognizing the struggle and how we can be an encouragement. And then it becomes easier to be generous and giving. So let's, on this week, let's work on generosity with our interactions with people. Amen? Yes. That'll be this week's task. And I'll be waiting for you to do something nice for me, Diane. No, I know. But I'm just saying, you know, I mean, it's like if we start somewhere, let's start somewhere together. My car is filthy.
That would be awesome. We will wash each other's cars today.
I'll just wash my own. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? It's like, if you came to my house, I'm going to wash your car. It's like, you know, how awkward would that be? But what if we could get to the point where that wasn't? I like it. I like where we're headed.
Yes.
Amen. What's that?
I said, well, I'll be there this afternoon.
Thank you. It'll be raining, but just bring the soap. Amen. According to God's word, let's confess and claim together. Jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, gifts and unexpected income, increase in sales and commissions, new clients and customers, inheritances, hidden resources, inventions, new business opportunities, lost or stolen items returned, checks in the mail, investment growth, promotions and advancement, supernatural favor, and abundance to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Father, just thank you for helping us keep our eyes open to the world around us, to the people that we should be trying to reach, that don't let us get too busy, Lord. Don't let us get too busy in our own lives and our own problems that we can't be the beacon that you call us to be, Lord. And let us be generous people. And we just thank you for you blessing us with our jobs and income and our homes and all the things that you surround us with, Lord, for our own joy, just so you could do it, Lord. And we thank you that we focus our eyes on you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
You can check out the information booth at church to see dates and arrival times and addresses. And also May 29th will be the Sunday graduation for all of our seniors here at church during service. And that will conclude your graduation announcements.
Reminder, Fusion Bible Camp deadline is May 4th, so make sure you sign up for that if you want to go.
Preparations for the garage sale are in full fledged, as you can see.
The dates are May 12th and 13th.
We are taking books, household items, kitchen items, furniture, clothing. So drop off your items at Word of Life Church on Wednesdays and Thursdays or bring them to church on Sunday with you. All the proceeds will be going to Ukraine. And some more info on it,
you can visit Russian Harvest Ministries on Facebook, and they are supplying medical supplies and food to Ukrainians. Yes.
Yes.
And check it out.
Woohoo!
just in, our annual Solberg Lake camping trip is set. It will be at Solberg Lake County Park on July 24th at the Pavilion.
And there is baptism, so if you want to be baptized, go see Pastor Jason.
We will be camping out there that week, so plan your family vacation for the week of July 24th.
Is it hot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Midweek link is this Wednesday.
Look at the camera.
Oh. I'm looking at the calendar. Is that it?
Maybe you just point to the calendar.
This Wednesday, whatever day it is. Wednesday, midweek link.
For all ages.
6:30.
Come.
There you go. You have it. Right in a nutshell. There you go. Fun to have a few more people take part of that. We are taking applications if you would like to take over for Phil. No, I'm just kidding. No, he did a great job. Awesome. Well, if you haven't, if you don't know for sure, this is a time when the littlest ones, there is a class available. If you want to go ahead and let them go to class, you can do that. But the older kids, that would be kindergarten up, they're going to stay here with us today. Normally, my wife makes a notes page for the kids. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to do that this week. So, kids, you have a responsibility today. And your responsibility is to make sure that your adult, whoever, if your parent or your grandparent, aunt or uncle is here, that they follow along in the notes today, okay? So now you've been called out, parents and grandparents and all that, to take notes. But it's important to do that. So help with that. And we're so thankful. How many are thankful for our kids? Amen? What a blessing they are. Yeah, come on, let's give them. We just let them know. They're amazing. And knowing that we have kids here promises that there'll be a tomorrow here at Word of Life Family Church. Amen? And excited about that, the work can continue. Speaking of the work continuing, I want to let you know in this right now, basically right now, Pastor Sellers, he's not here today. He has been asked to share his life testimony in a church in Merrill. And so he's there today sharing that. And I know it's going to be awesome. And I know that people are going to just fall in love with him like we all love him. And more importantly, they're going to fall in love with Jesus because of Christ in him. Amen? So excited about that. So we continue to be praying and for him as he does that. It's funny because it doesn't matter, and I'll just give you a little side note so you know this. It doesn't matter that the pastor, how many years they've been doing it work. We always get nervous in the middle of, right before it just happens. So, and he was in, you know, I'm thinking he should never get nervous. I mean, he's amazing. He's known it forever and all that. And he's like, I don't know. You know, I'm like, no, your gift goes before you, right? Amen. And should be a reminder to all of us about that truth. So anyway, excited to that. And I'm excited to hear the praise report that God has for that. Amen. A couple things very quickly I'm going to just share. I didn't know when to share, how to share it. But I'm just going to give you an update on Miss Betty, my mother-in-law, my mother-in-love. She has, unfortunately, has taken a turn and is having some difficulties. Sometime over the last week, she ended up having a major stroke again. And the doctor's report does not look good. And so we spent the last 2 days in Eau Claire. She's in Eau Claire in the hospital there. And so we're praying for that. Now, listen, I wanted you to know something. The Bible says that by his stripes we were healed. Amen? You remember that? Right? Okay, it's kind of like what the big reason Christ came, one of the many reasons why he came. So we are declaring and believing that up until the day that she's not here any longer, if that were to happen. And how many know there's still the miracle of healing when we get to heaven? Amen? Amen? So it's a win-win for a believer, and so there's no sorrow, there's no angst. We don't want her to go before her time, but we know that we all have a time, right? And so we are standing strong and firm, and she is going to be transferred today back from Eau Claire Mayo Clinic to home. They get to set up a bed and a hospice and all that stuff for you. So the reason she wanted to come back is she wants to make sure that if any one of you wants to hug her or love on her, she would love that. You know, they're not private people. They love fellowship with their family. And so I encourage you to do that. If you want to send an email or a Facebook message, any of that, by all means do it. They would love it. And, of course, prayers are appreciated as us, the family, you're walking through this and listening to the Holy Spirit, what to do, what not to do, all of those kinds of things that happen. And anyway, thank you for your prayers thus far. It's been well felt and helped. I will tell you this, just a miracle in itself, is that she is in absolutely, positively no pain. She is completely peaceful. She can't speak, but she can squeeze a hand and she can open her eyes if you talk to her. It's amazing because the doctors and nurses, everyone, like, we don't understand why she's not in pain. She should be in pain. With all that's going on in her body, there should be a problem. But we know there's a reason why she doesn't have a problem. Amen? It's God's grace, His mercy, and His mighty hand. And He's not finished yet. Whatever that looks like, we don't know. But we know it's good because God's always good. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So just wanted to kind of lay that out for you so you understood what was happening. Maybe I would wait maybe till Monday, Tuesday before. That way we can get her kind of settled in and get the house arranged and all that kind of stuff. Mr. Phil and I and Carrie are going to help do that today while they're headed this direction. So they may be watching or they may be en route to home right now. So we don't know. So if you're watching, we love you. And if they're headed here, we love you. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited because we're going to start a new series today. And I didn't know how this series was going to work. It's been about a month or a month and a couple weeks here that I've been working on this while I was finishing off the other series. How many remember the name of the last series? Hey, we got a rewire here. Yes, we're talking about rewire. And I wasn't sure, honestly, if this part of this installment was going to be in a continuation of that or not. And God said, no, just do something brand new. And so we're starting a new series called Fear Less. Somebody say Fear Less. Fear. Amen. So we're not fearless, but we're fearing less in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Now, we'll explain this a little bit more, but we're going to get into it. But how many know? I don't know if you know this. I just want to throw out some trivia for you today. Over 500 times in Scripture, in God's Word, the word is the word fear is mentioned over 500 times in Scripture. Now, 365 times it's referred to. I wrote it down. So to fear not. Now I'm thinking, why does 365? Why does that seem like catchy number for some reason? Anybody got any ideas, thoughts? It's the entire year. And so what God is saying, this must be important, that He has a word, fear not, for 365 times, which is the same as in a day, in a year, how many days in a year. So I'm thinking, He must have thought this was an important thing that we needed to know about. There's probably some importance that has to do with it. Amen? And so we're launching this out today. And I'm excited to see where God takes us. Are you ready? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We praise You. We honor You. We glorify Your name. God, we worship You. And we thank You, Father, that You are here in this place. I thank You for everybody that's here, every adult, every child. Father, we thank You that not only are we here to fellowship and we had a great time of during breakfast, but Father, we know that more importantly, You brought us here in this moment, in this time, for this place, in this time. So, Father, that means You have a word for us. You have something that we need to hear. You have something that we can grab a hold of and we can be changed and transformed by it. I pray that, Father, that we would dig into that. We would lean in to that, that we might hear You today. Father, I ask You that You would use my human words and somehow translate and make them Your words, God. I thank You, Father, that by the power of God that I might speak Your anointing. Father, I thank You not only those that hear, but also those that speak would receive today. Father, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we can't start this series without one of the most famous fear scriptures. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to read it for you. I think it might be on the screen. I can't remember. I was doing my slides and the notes in the hospital, so I don't know if it's right. Just letting you know, okay? So if you see a typo or something, good job for finding it. No, because I didn't. But here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." Amen? I think, you know what, it'd be fun if we just read that together. Can we do that? Let's read it together. Ready? It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." How many are ready to receive that right now? We could say, "Amen, Lord," and be done. But we're not, so don't leave yet. Regardless of how many times in life we fear, regardless of how many times we win in this area, it seems that fear still tries to creep in, right? As soon as we conquer one, it's like the enemy doesn't get it. By the way, he is kind of dumb in that he just keeps trying to do the same thing over and over again. But he's kind of, yeah, thank you kids for agreeing with me. Okay, so he will continue to fight you and continue to go forward, and he even tries to be intimidating in this way. But I just need you to know this, just to kind of set the stage and set the understanding that this kind of fear, the thing that's kind of trying to intimidate you and grip you and to cause you to worry and anxiety and all this, listen, that kind of fear is absolutely, positively not from our God. I want to make sure this sinks in, that we understand the character of God and who He is. Now, there is something called to fear the Lord, and that's more, it has to do with reverence. And that is something important, but that's not what we're talking about. That kind of reverence won't tear us away from the Father. It draws us closer to the Father. But fear like this, the fear that will cause us to close in or to worry and anxiety, that is not from God. That is not God's plan for our lives as kids. And this is why I believe 365 times He talks about, "Do not fear, don't be afraid." He's reminding us, just in case we decide we're going to buy into that lie. He's like, no, every day, fear not. It's like a love letter. It's a reminder. Amen? Now, spiritually speaking, when we're talking about the spiritual realm, I want you to understand something, that fear is a facade. Fear is a facade of the enemy. It is a lie of the enemy. It's a mirage. Anyone ever watch cartoons? And I don't even know what cartoon it was. I just remember this cartoon, and they're like walking in the desert, you know, and they start looking. There's two people, and they start looking at each other, and one of them looks like a chicken leg, and the other one looks like there's like this mirage. They're like, "I'm getting hungry," and they say, "Hey, how you doing, chicken?" You know, or they look on, and they see there's a river, there's a lake. We're thirsty. And so they're like, oh, and they run and they jump and they dive into a sand pit. That's a mirage. And that's what the enemy does, spiritually speaking, when it has to do with fear. He makes something appear as if it's real. The enemy is a liar. And so when we talk about fear as facade, pull that next slide up if you could. Next one, sorry. It's in there somewhere. False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. According to the spiritual idea of fear, it's fake. Because God said He can give us a spirit of fear. He said 365 times, "Don't fear." So we know that it's not real. Say it's not real. All right. Also need to remind you that in the natural realm does not dictate the spiritual realm. That the spiritual is the thing, the spiritual realm is actually what dictates what happens in the natural. Now I need you to understand this, because we're talking about this spiritual mindset, this understanding that we're looking beyond circumstantial evidence, false evidence of what God is and who He is for your life. If you're still here, say amen. Amen. Okay, good. Understand that we, as we look, that the spiritual realm is the thing. So the opposite is true, though. So our human understanding is natural. It's not what's in charge. Especially as a believer. As a believer, the spirit man is in charge. The spirit of God is in charge. I'm just putting that out there to you. I'm just confessing that over, just in case you didn't catch that. So when we say then that human or natural fear is, it's a false evidence appearing real. Here's a perfect example of that. How many have ever gone to watch a magician? Okay? How many know that the tricks that they do are tricks? They're an illusion of something real. They make it sound by sleight of hand to look like something is real or impossible is happening or whatever. But in fact, there's always a reason. There was a show out there that was debunking all of the magicians, and it was like a whole show of telling how these magicians do that. And a lot of magicians got together and were really angry at this individual that had the show. But it just revealed the truth that it's just fake. It's not real. That's a facade. And that's how I want us to picture. This is what I want us to look at as we look at the element of fear, the idea of fear. And this is really what the enemy does. This is what the enemy does for you and me, is he tries to stop you in your tracks through an illusion that he, or the thing that he's trying to put in front of you that to scare you, is more powerful, more important, more real than it really is. This is the tactic of the enemy. Somebody smile at me so I know we're... Grasp this idea, this truth, this amazing idea that the enemy wants to keep us from accomplishing God's things, His promises, to stretch out, to do what He's called us, to believe what He said about us, to have a joyful presence, to be the fruit, like Pastor Terry was talking about. If the enemy can stop us in fear, not to allow that seeds to be dispersed, without the seeds dispersing, the fruit won't grow. And that's the plan of the enemy. And he uses fear to do that. So why are the effects of fear so bad? Just being obvious, the number one thing, fear stops progress. Fear stops progress. Why is it such a powerful tool of the enemy? He's trying to stop us. He's trying to take us out. He's trying to put us on the bench to tell us, no, you, not only are you going to be on the bench, but you know what? Go back to the locker room. That's what the enemy does. Fear will stop progress. We'll never achieve God's given hopes and dreams if fear is the pilot of our life. If we let fear be the ruling thing, we would not do that. I would venture to say that each one of you, at some point in your life, had to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. But also, I can say that there probably in those moments, prior to receiving, there was a little bit of fear, like, am I doing it? You want me to confess and believe in a God I don't see? In the natural, you want me to put my human understanding aside, and you want me to receive this Savior that I haven't seen personally? And there could be fear that would stop us from that. Of course, that's what the enemy would want. But again, I want to remind you, the spiritual realm is more powerful and more right than what we see, feel, taste, or touch. We need to get a mindset of that. We need to have the truth that we'll never achieve our God-given purpose or hopes or dreams if fear is our pilot. Say, fear's not my pilot. Because fear will cause us to retreat, won't it? Pastora just did a woman's conference. She had the opportunity to be the speaker. And we heard testimony that God did amazing things. The advancement of the kingdom, it wasn't for her glory, it was for His glory. But God chose her as a vehicle for that purpose. And had she let fear override her, and I'll tell you, I'm sure she would tell you as well, that, you know, she would have rather not have done that. But yet, thankfully, she faced that fear, seeing that that was a fake facade because God had called her. She didn't ask to do it. She was asked. God called on her to do that. And so she stepped out in faith, and God did what He always does. I want to say this because I want you to understand that if we allow fear, it will stop progress. It'll stop progress in ministry. And I need everyone to point at you, say, I have a ministry. Point at yourself and say, I have a ministry. We all have a ministry. This, according to not Pastor Jason, that's according to God's word, according to Jesus Himself. He said, go and make disciples. We all been given the ministry of reconciliation. We're all supposed to invite people to know Jesus. Amen? And so here, but fear, how many times, don't raise your hand because I get it. How many times did fear stop you from sharing a good word with someone? How many times did fear stop you from laying your hands and praying for someone that you knew needed prayer? Now, there's no condemnation in Christ, praise God. And thankfully, by the way, everything that God is not all on your shoulders. You are a vessel. He wants you to participate in that. He wants you to partner with Him. But He's sovereign and He's mighty and His mighty work will move. But He wants to partner with us. And so He will prompt us. God will prompt us, but sometimes fear stops ministry. Has anyone ever experienced that? Don't raise your hand. I have. I'll admit it. So it will stop. Fear will stop. So why more people won't minister? Or this is, and maybe I'm just going to kind of play it off here. How many times have you said, okay, well, I know I should, but why me? I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know. I haven't been a believer that long. Or I don't understand enough of the Bible to do that. That's fear. It's not about your abilities. My abilities is not about our abilities. God will do the work. He will be the voice. He will be the one that does it. He just wants the vessel to push fear aside and be obedient. Because in that moment, at that spot, you are the vessel, you are the vehicle that connects someone with Him. Which is an amazing opportunity. That He would choose us, and perfect human us, to do a supernatural miracle to connect others with Christ. But He does. And the enemy knows that He does, and so he uses fear to shut our mouths. He uses fear to cower us, to cause us to pull back. Say, I'm not pulling back. All right, amen. I believe you. It also stops us in giving. And I don't just mean money, but we can include money. But also in serving. Or giving your time. Or giving of your gifts or your talents. I can't. If I do this, then I won't be able to take care of this or do this. I understand that. And so understand that there's a balance there. I'm not trying to get us out of balance. But I want us to understand that we were called to be givers. To be servers. To not just be self-absorbers. Can somebody say amen? Because if we're self-absorbed, then I get to be like Jobafat, fat, right? What? Jabba the Hutt, that's what it is. Sorry, my Star Wars is real rusty. If you don't know, this thing is like a building large. See, if we're not careful, if we're not serving, God's planting, He's giving, and He's given us everything. If we're not careful, we'll just become slow. That's all I'll say. Amen. Do you understand what I mean, right? You get it? And so praise God that don't worry. I want to say this also. As you give, the Bible says that it'll be given back to you. Good. Press down, shaking together. Thank you. Amen. Right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about that God provides seed to the sower. Amen? All right, now we're going to change gears. Say, let's change gears. All right, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Usually in the first series, we lay some groundwork. Samuel chapter 17, we're going to look at the story of David and Goliath. Anyone ever heard of it? Kids, have you ever heard of David and Goliath? Yeah, me too. All right, good. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Are you there yet? All right, we're going to look at... I'm going to look at it now. I don't have it all on the screen. I only have a few verses, so it's not on. So you're going to have to look at your Bible or your electronic device or however you look at God's Word. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is about David and Goliath. And, of course, we know the lead into David and Goliath. There's this just giant, this Philistine that is threatening, causing fear to the Israelites. God had promised that they could take this land, but there was this annoying guy that was seemed pretty tough and strong and big, that was trying to stop them. And verse 10 of chapter 17, it says, "Then the Philistine said, 'This day I defile the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.' On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all of the Israelites were dismayed and terrified." You see, there was a fear that was going across. Now, Saul was a pretty powerful commander, and he was cowering. All of Israel, they had been doing some great things, and now they are cowering to this thing. For 40 days, in verse 16, I'm just jumping down for sake of time. Verse 16, "For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand." Basically, every morning he stood up and said the same thing over and over again. Now, if we're just correlated to stress, how many times every morning we get up, "Oh, here it is again, kind of thing. Every morning, like, oh, that weight. But on verse 32, we'll jump down. David said something that we can use in our own walk. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine." Verse 32, "Your servant will go and fight him." And Paul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep." Now, I just want to give you the cliff note here. David's been out protecting. He's a shepherd boy, and he's been protecting the sheep. And what we don't know, or what Saul doesn't realize, is that David has already killed a lion and a bear, and he's about ready to kill a giant in just a moment. So anyway, he has realized that God is taking care of him. The other thing we need to understand is not everyone's going to cheer you on when you're going forward. You might want to be careful what you're sharing with others, because not everyone's going to say, "Yeah, go for it." Some of you are like, "Oh, no." Now, if you feel like this is from the Lord, you better power through, but there will certainly be those that are closest to you at times that will tell you, don't do it. And just plain and simple, not everyone's going to cheer you on. It could be because they don't have any understanding, or it could be they're jealous. There's a lot of variables, but let me remind you, it's not them, it's the enemy. Right? Amen? We understand that. And if we allow that, it'll stop us, and they'll try to disqualify you like this. "You're just a kid. You can't do that." I mean, we hear this a lot. Someone will say, oh, I'm gonna do this for God. But how long have you been a believer? You're just a boy. Well, by the way, God doesn't say when you believe you're just a little boy. He says you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Now, we can mature, we can grow, and we should. We should use this opportunity. I'm not saying that, you know, the Bible talks about counting the cost, understanding the walk, of walking through that and exercising, but you can do more than you think you can do. Amen? All right, so let's keep going. Verse 17, verse 41, it says, meanwhile, somebody say meanwhile. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. And when he looked David over and he saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. Giant must have been ugly, I don't know. He said to David, am I a dog that you would come at me as sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said. This is the Philistine spitting out fear. Come here, he said, and I'll give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the birds of the beasts of the field. Verse 45, I love it. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I give the carcass of the Philistine, and then I'm going to stop there because it gets really gory. Awesome. Reminding him who, what's what. In verse 48, we'll jump down, says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Get a picture here. Philistine's like, you know, imagine a fight. Come on, come on. David's like, all right, I'm coming. It's like, come on. David's like, imagine the picture of this thing happening. And reaching into his bag, he takes out a stone and he slung it and he struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's good news. But there's a picture here. There's an idea. God didn't just write this in to be like, hey, go, way to go, David. It's a picture. It's a reminder. It's a truth that we, as a believer, can do like David. Now, don't be David. Be you. You be you. Say you be you. Okay, I will. Thank you. No. But understand that we have to do this, but we have the heart. The heart of the idea is this, that when you step out, what no one else is doing, everything else around you is going to say not to do it. People are going to say don't do it. But if it's God, all things are possible. Amen? So the big idea is, in this story, I want to tell you, run towards the thing you fear. My best example of this, Miles and I had a conversation many years ago. He was on the fire department, I'm on the local fire department, and he says, it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure about us mentally. Everyone's running out of the fire, we're running into the fire. And that doesn't make us fearless. There's a purpose, there's a reason for doing it, but understand that it takes running into the fire to squelch the fire. We can't just cower back. It will continue to burn. I guess eventually it'll go out. Full destruction. Do you understand? Sometimes you have to run. I'm going to run toward the thing you fear. Okay, so if you have your handout, we're finally in our handout. Number one is this. When you run towards the thing you fear, you shift from fear mode to faith mode. Now, I'm just going to give you a little quick reminder. It may never have to run out in the battlefield, But we do have to run out and praise the name of Christ, Jesus. And it might be you're hard-pressed, bad reports. It might be that you're facing difficulty, and it's in that moment that you can either cower from it and get nowhere, or you can run towards it with praise, which, by the way, the Bible talks about is a weapon for warfare. And you can defeat something. But if I don't run towards it, if I don't exercise that thing, then I'm going to be overtaking. Listen, fear and faith operate by the same spiritual law. Fear is a counterfeit to the law of faith. So if faith comes by, the Bible says, if faith comes by hearing the word, we could say, or fear comes by hearing the contradiction of the word. Right? Or we can say, okay, north and south are both directions on a compass. Fear forces you to go in one direction. Faith causes you to go, they don't intertwine. But they're both directions. What am I saying? We got to be careful. God has given us this gift. We have these eyes. Everyone blink your eyes. Kids, blink your eyes. Everyone pull on your ears. Everyone go like this. No, I'm just kidding. We have eyes. We have ears. And we have a mouth. See, this is the way. If we are not putting insight in our ears or what we're saying, faith, we are coming in agreement with the enemy by speaking or allowing fear to come into our lives. I want you to understand, when we entertain fear in that way, it's like we're saying, come on, devil, I want to link up with you. And of course, we would never do that. But that's exactly what this is saying. That fear is the opposite of faith. When we do that, we're coming in agreement. The Bible says when two or more are gathered, guess what? The same spiritual rule will work if you come in together in agreement with the wrong thing. That's right. So for me, I was like, what? What have I been doing? The cool thing is now getting revelation, it's like kicking the devil in the teeth. It's like, poof. I like it when kids are here. They laugh at my jokes. All right, good. All right, amen. Shows the level of, never mind. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. All right, anyway. Did I already say that fear is not of God? Did we already establish the fact that the enemy is attempting to steal from you when he brings fear in your life? So when fear rises up, instead of saying, oh man, you can say, wait, I recognize that devil. Right? I recognize that thing. Because we know that fear is not from God. That kind of fear is not from God. Fear contaminates faith. And so that's why we say often, we're saying, when you're praying, don't pray from fear. Pray from what His Word says. Now, we don't always understand everything. And that's why we need to know His Word, so we know the will of God, the heart of God, so that we can be confident when we pray. Amen. And we're not praying the wrong thing, because we can want a lot of things, but we have to pray. Prayer only works when we come in agreement with what He's already established, not what we want. And that works good and that works bad. And there's a lot of awesome things. There's a lot of things that you maybe didn't realize that God wants you to have. You may not realize there's a lot of... God is a giving, loving God, not a God that wants to smite us. He doesn't want to smite us because we know this, because He sent Christ Jesus so we could have eternity with Him. Right? And so we understand as we're looking that is a lie, and it's impossible to... If it says we're impossible without faith to please God... My question is it impossible to please God without faith? Could we surmise then that it's possible to please Satan with fear? Right? I don't like that. I don't want to please that guy. He doesn't have anything good he wants for me. Why do I want to please him? And fear does that. In other words, we could be pleasing the enemy when we walk out fear. We don't want to walk out fear because we don't want to please the enemy, because we don't want him to take or subtract or remove what God has. And just so we understand, God is powerful, mighty, and everlasting. He will always be strong. But you know what? He has set up this a beautiful thing with us. It's the free will. And if the enemy can lie to us and cheat and do all of these things when we make bad decisions, then guess what? We've almost like we've cut off the opportunity for God to move like he wants to move. Now, thankfully, somebody say thankfully, grace and mercy abound. And God is always wooing and working to try to catch up, to get us, to bring us back. Praise God. He doesn't give up on you. Somebody needs to hear that. He does not give up on you, period. God does not give up on you, period. But we have this will, if we're going to follow him, if we're going to go to him, if we're going to do some things like this where we're going to dispel fear, now we're walking toward, in faith, by faith, towards the things of God, and it more powers and more empowers us to be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in us. Both can cause, faith and fear both can cause the unseen to come into reality. One of the best verses for this, you've seen it, I'm sure you've heard it and read it, and I don't have time. What I'd like to do one of these days, I'm going to do a whole study in just the book of Job. But Job 25, chapter 3, verse 25 says this. He says, "What I feared has come upon me; what I've dreaded has happened to me." Now, if you understand, if you've read the story of Job, it was pretty detrimental. And we find that he had let fear, the decisions he made while God was blessing him, he was holding on to these things, and it caused fear, and it's like, and it opened up the opportunity for the enemy to disrupt God in his life. The Message translation says it this way. You may like that translation, I don't know, but for me it helped me understand. It says, "The worst of my fears," Job says, "has come true. What I've dreaded most has happened to me." See, fear, Satan uses fear to cling us, to bind us to the success that God has planned for you. He's to try to hold this fear thing as the separator between the promise of what God says about you and for you and what the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy for you. Somebody should say amen to that one. If we get a picture of that truth. So running towards number two, say number two. Running towards the thing you fear will activate the power, the presence, and the promises of God. The promise of God that's in you and is moving for you. When you begin to run towards that fear, in the power of God, in the understanding of who we are in Christ, and that God, it's through Christ only we're able to, it activates the power and the presence and the promises of God. I already said it this way. Remember, when they were circling Jericho, they had to do something. If those walls were going to break down, they had to do a purpose. They had to activate into something. They couldn't just stand back and say, "Okay, God, go ahead and do it." God says, "I need you to circle around that thing." Now, it didn't make sense, and that's kind of the point. If it made sense, then it's done by human, and I did that. And God doesn't need you like that. He wants you to participate with him, and he wants to reveal his strength, his strong. And so he wants to not only bless that you're trying to work out or overcome, but he's also blessing you all of the while by seeing him work through you. And you're like, whoa, I couldn't do that by myself. God did that. So when we run towards it, he activates the power in the presence of God. And for instance, when in the scripture we read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read this, when did God help the Israelites? In this scripture, in this portion of scripture, when did God help them? When they were cowered back here like, or did they win when David started running towards him? It activated the power. Now, I just want you to know this. David, little David, he's pretty good with the sling, apparently. But I promise you, he wasn't nearly as good as he was with using the anointing of God in him. God, that was just a tool. But that's not what killed Goliath. God killed Goliath through the anointing of God, what God had purposed. But he did ask David to activate that presence, to put his hand to something, to do something, to swing the slingshot. What is God, what tool has God given you to start swinging? You're like, I don't know, this is enough. And the enemy is going to be yelling at you like, it's not enough. It's just a string. It's just your voice or whatever. It's just this. The enemy will always tell you, undersize what you have. But remember, we don't walk by faith. We don't walk by circumstances and by our own abilities. We walk by what God said. And so the anointing of God in you and through you will help kill that giant, kill that bear, kill that whatever needs to be killed in your life. And will also not only do that, but open the way for others to know that God is on the throne. Amen? That's the good truth. And that's so good that we're going to stop right there. I have more, but we're going to do more next week. Because I want to make sure we get this. Plus, I got to get out of here. So let's stand to your feet, if you will. Is this good? Are you getting this? We're getting something, right? We're getting fed here. All right. I will tell you this. Normally, this is not thus saith the Lord. This is just life experience. That when you start getting revelation, understanding and of what the things of God and the goodness of God and all he is, there's always going to be an enemy that's going to try to counterattack what you just heard. What you've just like, oh yeah, there's always going to be. So be aware. Don't be scared. Fear not. He says, for I am with you. So we're aware of it. Say, I'm aware of it. And as we are, we're going to be able to be powerful in his might and his grace. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for your instructions here about fear. And God, I thank you that you've overcome and you've called us overcomers and that you have an answer. God, I don't know what everyone's facing in this moment, but my guess is that someone is facing a fear, a challenge, maybe more than one. And it feels very real, and it is in the natural. But God, I thank you that you're not limited in the natural means. You are a supernatural God. And so we call on that supernaturalness in this moment and in this time. I pray that over each person today, that they would exercise in faith and kick fear to the curb. They would not let the enemy lie to them, the illusion of the real, and rather the realness of who you are, God, that they would embrace this week, this day, and this moment. God, I just pray a hedge of protection over each person. As seed is sown, the enemy is going to try to dig it up. We know that already. We're well aware. And so we cover it by the blood of Christ. We cover it by the power of the Holy Spirit, that it might dwell, stay in the ground, it might grow and flourish. We speak that in Jesus' name. We thank you that you've given the authority to speak on the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And so we just declare Jesus over this truth today. Father, help give us more revelation and understanding. I pray that this is a springboard, that God, you continue to download truths about faith and the danger of walking and allowing fear to rule. We thank you that, Father, over 2,000 years ago, you broke the curse of fear over our lives when Jesus came. We thank you that the price was paid, the penalty for that, that what we deserved. Father, I thank you that Jesus took it on him. So now we can go boldly, receive boldly the promises, receive boldly the teaching so we can activate in it, so that your power and your presence can go forth in our influence. In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for health and healing in this body. Father, we pray your will, your good and perfect and pleasing will over our decisions every day, that we would listen and obey, and we would not let fear remove us. I pray that in that truth, that we're able to speak his word and we're able to open our mouths and minister to folks. Share your truths and let them know that you love them too. Father, I thank you for that. We take that. We run with that. By faith, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen? Come on, God's good. He's so good. Amen. So good to see everybody. Thank you guys for coming, and what a blessing it is. I just want to pray a blessing over you. We'll be here next week. If you're here, come on over, and excited to see what God's got in store for us. Amen. Can I just pray a blessing over you? Hey, were our kids good? Give our kids a hand. Thank you, kids, for hanging out with us. Hope you kept the parents in line. Perfect. Good. Amen. All right. Father, I just pray a blessing over each person here today. I thank you, Father, that your word says that we can pray no evil come befall our dwelling, no sickness and disease. Father, we just pray life over each one of us now. And as we see the enemy come and try, we can take out our sling, Father. Whatever it is that we have, whatever gift, talent, gift that we have, Father, we can sling that thing and kill that giant this week in Jesus' name. I thank you that you said we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. You are dismissed. Have a great week in Jesus' name.